Agatini, Smile 90.4 FM.
Joining us in conversation this evening to put the spotlight on the role of workplace culture in reducing employee burnout is the founder of the Hatch Institute and Sorbet Group, Ian Furr. Ian, good evening and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Benita. Thank you so much for having me.
Ian, July is Mental Illness Awareness Month. Tell us a bit more about how the pandemic has exacerbated mental health issues and increased employee burnout.
Yeah, it's a real problem at the moment, Benita, and it has become worse, you know, over the months, particularly with the ongoing pandemic. What tends to happen is that people now feel stressed about a whole lot of things that they weren't stressed about before. So normally it was just about the workload. Now it's about their physical health, their psychological health, and also obviously their financial health as well. So we've got all kinds of things that are worrying people, and this leads to burnout, especially when they are working remotely and they're never sure when to switch off because they don't have the exact timeline that you would normally have during, you know, an office working hour regime. So people are working extra hours and they feel obliged and they feel that they are not always trusted because their managers don't always trust them to be working hard enough. So there's a lot of stress all around, and this causes burnout, which is quite a dangerous thing at the end of the day. It can really impact heavily on people.
And what can organizations, HR managers do to help to ensure a more healthy, resilient, and focused employee?
Well, there are two things that you can do, you know, from a business perspective, a company perspective. The one is to show genuine concern for the well-being of the people. That's the first thing, is to get them to know that we are, you know, genuinely concerned about their health, as I say, their physical health, psychological health, and financial health. It's important that people know that their company's concerned about them. That's the first thing. The second thing is there are a number of things that you can do in terms of trying to get people to be a bit more comfortable in their role, especially working remotely. One of the issues is always this role ambiguity. Sometimes people are not exactly sure what is expected of them in these times, and so they work pretty hard and they're not sure if they're being recognized for the work that they're doing. So we need to be clear about what people have to do and what their roles are. We need to make sure that there's no role conflict. In other words, you know, when people experience conflicting demands at work and are more likely to suffer from stress and burnout as a result. So if you can do that, and if you can build a strong culture, you know, around a common purpose where everybody understands why they come to work, what it is they have to do, and there's alignment on service, particularly on customer service, where you're making a difference in other people's lives, that would all help towards creating an environment where people feel a bit more comfortable in their work and their workload as well.
There's that word once again, culture. And Ian, in a recent article, you speak about culture mitigating employee burnout. Just tell us how important culture is for a business.
No, absolutely vital. You know, people always ask me, how does culture impact on the bottom line? And my answer to that is that culture is the bottom line. And if you don't have a strong culture, you'll never be able to achieve your objectives in business, because if people are not all focused on service and all focused on the customers, then they are focused on themselves and the money. So if people come to work to make money, then you know you're in trouble. So please try and help people by saying, listen, you don't come to work to make money. You come to work to serve the needs and wants of your customers. And if you do that well, you'll get some money. And so it's a bit of a paradigm shift, but culture is absolutely critical. You cannot serve your customers well, which is obviously the ultimate objective of business. You can't serve them well if you don't have a strong culture. So there's a very direct link between culture and service, and I think not even businesses are taking that into account.
And particularly now, I mean, what are the advantages of having a strong culture when faced with with an ever-changing world precipitated by this pandemic.
Correct. I think one of the things that needs to happen is that everybody in the organization needs to have a sense of belonging. And I feel that I truly belong here. I feel that I am accepted and respected and trusted, and that my contribution is valued, and that I'm treated with fairness and dignity, particularly from the different perspectives of diversity, that each person feels that I belong here despite my differences, and that I am an accepted and respected member of this company. If we can get to that, we already have won half the battle. But it's the process of getting to that is quite challenging, because we have a lot of diversity issues in South Africa. We have a lot of racial polarization, we have gender issues, we have all of the things that we know are impacting on us in our business, and we don't always know how to address those things properly. So I'm a big advocate of having the courageous conversations and getting people to speak about the issues that are really important and are really impacting on us in our companies at the moment. And there is a tendency often to want to put the past behind us and to just move forward with some sort of a shared value program. But that's not realistic. It's a little naive at best and irresponsible at worst. We do need to understand our differences and understand how we got into this mess in the first place. Particularly from a socio-political point of view, we can never underestimate the impact that the socio-political environment has on our workplaces and on the individuals in the organization, especially at the moment. Never mind the pandemic, all of the unrest and the political issues and the racial issues that are emerging on a daily basis here, and the high levels of inequality in South Africa. We need to address those issues, because they're not going to go away by themselves. And it's not surprising that we've had this type of unrest in the country. It's not surprising at all. When you have such high sort of equality gaps in a society, there will eventually come a time when people say enough is enough, and they start to take the law into their own hands. So as a country, we have a moral obligation really to try and uplift everyone in this country, and to also make sure that everybody has equal access and equal opportunity to employment. We can't ignore the fact that over 70% of our youth are unemployed. That doesn't bode well for our future. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things have to happen in order for us to get this country right, and at the same time, we need to get our businesses to do the same thing. We also have that obligation. We need to make sure that everything and every company, every person has equal opportunities, and that there's development and growth of the people and upliftment of everybody, so we can create a normal society which is going to be prosperous into the future.
Ian Furr is founder of the Hatch Institute and the Sorbet Group, and he joins us this evening in conversation on the honest truth. So that sense of belonging is certainly where one wants to get to in terms of how a culture can align one's purpose and no doubt will benefit one's leaders. But how do we get there, Ian? You said you were a proponent of these courageous conversations. So how do we get to that sense of belonging?
So we need to have these courageous conversations from the point of view of like workshops in the company. We run race relations workshops as part of the service that we offer as the Hatch Institute. And we get people to sit around and, or either virtually at the moment or in groups when things get back to normal, from different race groups and different backgrounds, and have conversations that get people to understand each other. You know, we've come from a 300-year history of systemic racism, and we do need to address it. And I know some people are going to be saying, oh, can't we just sort of move on, you know? Why don't we just put the past behind us? Mm-hmm. But it's not that simple. We have to have those conversations, and we have part of those conversations is what we call a mini-truth commission. So we get everybody to share their story. What was it like to grow up in South Africa? How did you experience your life? you know, and when people see how different the experiences have been and they learn from each other's experiences, then they get to understand why there's such a vast sort of difference in life experience, in culture, in understanding, in value systems and belief. And once you get to understand that, it becomes a bit easier to communicate across the racial lines. And essentially what we want to do is we want people to start to accept and respect and tolerate people that are different to them. Mm. And to be able to make sure that everybody has that opportunity to do so.
There are great benefits to working virtually, but there are challenges too, such as the always-on mentality, as you pointed out earlier. How can employees and employers balance this out to reduce burnout or the risk thereof?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we need to do as business leaders and managers is to make sure that we find the right balance between working at home and working in the office. Some people prefer to work at home because it suits them and they don't have to sit in the traffic and they can get their work done. But others prefer to be in the office because when they're at home, they've got a lot of distractions and they don't really know. You know, this always on thing is a problem. And even though when they switch off their laptops and their computers so that this work and they work early hours in the morning and late into the evening, et cetera, et cetera. So ideally what we'd like to do is we'd like to be able to ask people individually rather than making blanket decisions about working in the office or working at home, is ask each individual, how do you feel about working at home or in the office? Which is your preference and why? So that people feel that they have the choice rather than being forced to either work at home or work in the office. And that's what I'm encouraging all my clients to do, is to ask people individually, how do you feel about this? And I think then at least they have that choice. And if they're forced to do something they don't want to do, that makes it worse. And that makes it even more negative and exacerbates the problem.
Lastly, then Ian, we return to culture. How do we maintain and build a strong culture when there is this virtual component to how we are working?
Yeah, look, it is definitely more challenging to maintain a culture when you're working virtually all the time. But it doesn't mean that you lose sight of your purpose. As long as you keep sight of the purpose and remember why you are there and what you have to do, and it's about you, all about your customer service, et cetera, et cetera. So we just got to make sure that we remind and refresh. I call it reminder recall. You know, just make sure that everybody never loses sight of what the purpose is of the company, what the core values of the company are. And of course, we need to live those values. If you don't expect your staff to perform in a certain way and live the values, then you as the leaders have to make sure that you set that example yourself, because you cannot expect other people to transform and build a strong culture if you yourself are not able to change and to transform yourself as an individual.
Ian Furr, founder of the Hatch Institute and Sorbet Group, as always, appreciate your time and your insights. Ian, thank you for joining us tonight.
That's only a pleasure. Thank you very much, Benita.
Time is running out to get your name on my